And clapping hands in the Mosella. Where's your people from? Where's your people from? clapping hands over here like Shayateen, talking about movies and all that. Come on. Shayateen, yeah. I've got proof. I'll show you, talk about movies, yeah. Yeah. MashaAllah. So we can call you, come give us a bayan about madrasa. Come. Tell us about madrasa. Come, tell us about madrasa.
Tell us, you're very honored to be in the madrasa. Come.
Which one? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا واطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. On the holy day of Friday, Juma, Alhamdulillah, I'm honored to be giving a bayan in this blessed Musalla Abu Bakr. My topic today will be about this dunya and its effect that it has on us. When a child is born, he knows nothing. No sins he has committed. He comes into the world as a newborn baby. Then he goes to school. He learns the secular education. Then he passes, he goes to grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. But what do you notice about him passing? Each grade he goes to, he learns something new, but always something bad along with it. Either the bad friend, soon he starts vaping, you see him in class going, he's chuffing. What do you call it, chuffing? Yeah, chuff. He starts doing all of that in class. And then all of a sudden, Astaghfirullah has a girlfriend. Astaghfirullah, who has a girlfriend? Who has a girlfriend here? No one has a girlfriend. Astaghfirullah must have a girlfriend. But instead of going to school, she take our children to madrasa. Especially my Junaid's madrasa. He'll teach them very nice. He'll make the hips very strong. He'll teach them about the hadith and how to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say inshallah. Takbir. So let's all make the intention that we will change, inshallah. Say from today I shall change. From today. Not from today. Say from today. I shall change. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Mashallah. Mashallah. Who's next for Al-Qirat? Shh. Don't noise. I'm asking who's ready for Qirat. Amadi. How much must pay you, Amadi? Huh? Come. Quickly, Amadi. Just come in. Come in. Now we will call upon Sheikh Ahmadi, all the way from Burundi, to give us, render us a beautiful qirat. See, start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى ألم يك نطفة من مني يمنى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح
كل شيء مقتدرا. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا، والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا. وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة، لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا. ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى 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 والليل إذا سجى والليل إذا سجى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وما قلى وما قلي وللآخرة 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 خير لك من الأولى خير لك من الأولى من الأولى من الأولى من الأولى من الأولى من الأولى. ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى فترضى فترضي. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى يتيما فآوي ألم يجدك يتيما فآوي ووجدك ضالا فهدى فهدى فهدي ووجدك عائلا عائلا فأغنى فأغنى فأغني فأغني ووجدك عائلا فأغني فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You see how Allah Ta'ala has blessed us that in this time, in this zamana, where a lot of evil is taking place around the world and around us, Allah Ta'ala still has kept Islam very strong. Allah has kept Islam very strong. This is the same qiraat. Whatever we, Qarisab has recited, and whatever we recite, when we try to make your recite, it's the same kalam, the same Quran was read 1,400 years ago. 1,400 years ago, I take a qasam on Allah and this, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah Ta'ala protected it. Allah protected it. And you see, Allah protected it not only in one style, but Qarisab showed us that we can have so many different styles in recitation of Quran. But not for tomorrow, tomorrow you'll come to a class and start reading وَالْدُحَيَّةَ. It's not for you all to read. Until Qarisab teaches you all and gives you ijazah. You get ijazah, Mansur. Get permission from Qarisab. That now you can read like this. Waqafa, waqafa, waqafa. You can read like that. Otherwise, you have to get ijazah. Okay? It's like how you get your qualifications and all the different things. You become optometrist. From grade 11, go become an optometrist. Huh? How do you show people? So you have to learn and get educated, and like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your knowledge. You must have a desire for that. Have a desire. This Isa fella only talking about education, 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 from grade 1, grade 2 education. What about education? Islamic education. Is it? Islamic education. We must have a love and desire that how I can bring more Quran in my life. How can I bring more Islam and more deen in my life? All that science and biography and biology you're learning in school, if you realize, you find all this in Quran as well. Person has to contemplate and deliberate over Quran, then he'll realize. Just yesterday I was reading the bee. Allah Ta'ala talks about the bee in the Quran. So Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he says the hexagon, musaddasa, is in Arabic you say the hexagon. The hexagon shape, who made it? The bee makes the hexagon shape, 6 different corners. Allah Ta'ala teaches all this in the Quran. You went to school, you learn geometry. All this came from where? All this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came from Quran, came from Hadith. We have to connect it to our Islam and Deen. It's not something that away from Islam and Deen, all these things that we are learning. But obviously you learn it according to Sharia. Not that now you learn all the different creation of Allah, and then you say there's no Allah. They call the atheists in the world today. All the learning so much of science, and then you say there's no Allah. There is Allah, Ta'ala is in everything. If you look at everything, you will find Allah. Okay? Understood? I'm going home now, mashallah. Not now, after Jummah Salah. Zakaria, agree, happy. After Jummah Salah, we've got 1 week of unofficial holiday, but it's holiday, mashallah. So, what we must do? We must go and do wrong and evil. What we have to do? We must, Allah has given us time. Ni'matani maghunun fihima kathiru minan nas. Two ni'mat and bounties that many people, they get caught up, they get misled with these ni'mat. What is faragh? What is it? What is faragh? Free time. Now to get a jol now. Time to get a jol. No bay. Allah is watching us in school too, Allah is watching us at home too. Wherever we are, Allah is watching us. Yes, you can have siyaha, you can have some nice time meaning no pressure. Oh, mashallah, your family is taking you, go to the bar, go look at the different sceneries. Oh, you all, mashallah, many of you are living at the beach there. Go look at the ocean waves, huh? Don't look at the other waves. Look at the waves of the ocean. Don't look at the fish with two legs. That's it. Catch fish. Not the fish on the shore. The fish in the water. But look all at the beautiful creation of Allah and recognize of Allah. Sometimes one person was saying, MashaAllah, Mulana, I'm looking at Allah's creation also. Not all Allah's creation is halal to look at. All Allah's creation is halal to look at. One day when you're getting married, they will tell you, look properly, go and find a girl and look properly. Yeah, Ajmal. We'll give you a foot on them to look at. But now, every time you look at one, but remember your rosy is becoming lesser. Barakat is going away from your life when looking at haram. And every time you stay away from looking at a nice beautiful girl came in front and you put your head down, Allah is giving you closeness to Allah now when you're putting your head down. But when you look at her, you're losing all the closeness. All the love for Allah Ta'ala. So stay away from haram, the holiday. Stay away from haram, the TV. Doesn't mean now 7 days must sit in front of the TV and watch TV. Amu does it. 7 days a week now sit and watch TV. No. It's not time to sit in front of all games. All the time on the cell phone playing games. All of you call your thumbies. All using the thumb, all the time on the phone. Thumb. Call your thumbies. You know what the thumb is? Do not. To find out. Don't sit on the phone all the time, sit in front of the TV. The other day that Abdullah Farah, he left, he came back. Now tell him, I'm going to tell your mother, like door. What are you doing, like door? No, don't tell my mother, my PC, my PSP, my TV, everything will go away. Like door, wait, so quickly he mentioned it. Right, whole life is sitting on that. What Allah created for us, to sit in front of the TV screen. No. We've got life, to enjoy life. Not enjoy in a haram way. Enjoy finding Allah Ta'ala, getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't forget that 5 times salah is farz upon us. 5 times salah is farz, it is compulsory. It is, we cannot do without salah. Fahim? We cannot do without salah. It is like a head, a body without a head. Can you live? How can we do without salah? As I was explaining to you the other day, that Allah Ta'ala has given us eyes, Allah has given us ears, Allah has given us the ability to talk, Allah has given us the ability to walk, Allah has given us the ability to catch, to hold. So many different abilities. Now Allah is saying, now just for 5 minutes, 5 times a day, come in front of me and use all this ability that I've given you for me. But you don't want to do that. Imagine if Allah has to snatch away all this ability that He's given us. He's asking us for 5 times a day, come to the masjid, and use these abilities that I have given you for me. I don't need like sit like this. Understand? All of you all, I want you to go sit outside in a line there. Big boys in the first half. Grade 7 and 8 in the second half, and the old boy there. Boys younger than that. Yusuf Talini, go sit in the last half, third half. Quickly go. Kahf.
Come.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن عملا وإنا لجاعلون ما عليها سعيدا جرزا أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذا والفتة إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوسيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا وكذلك بعثناهم يتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما وبعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي ليقرب من هذا رشدا ولبثوا في كهفهم 300 سنين وازدادوا 9 قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا أفحسب الذين كفروا أن يتخذوا عبادي من دوني أولياء إنا أعتدنا جهنم للكافرين نزلا قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربي فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربي أحدا صدق الله العظيم.
To make it a habit every Friday, we should try and read our Surah Kahf. The entire Surah Kahf, if not the entire Surah Kahf, then at least the first 10 ayah and the last 10 ayah of Surah Kahf. Allah Ta'ala will protect us from the evils of Dajjal. Allah protect us from the fitnas and the trials at the time of Dajjal. And as we can see, I don't think there is any minor signs left that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had specified in the Hadith Sharif for us. We have seen all the minor signs, or most of it probably, that we are now living in the zamana and time of the Dajjal. Allah Ta'ala knows when, whenever, but we should be prepared and we should be reciting Surah Kahf. Some ulama explain that even if we have to recite Surah Kahf on a daily basis, so that we can be protected from the evils of Dajjal, from all the different fitnas and fasad and corruption that will come in the zamana and time. So we should make it a habit to read it. Allah Ta'ala, person who reads Surah Kahf, Allah Ta'ala will give him a light and a nur. He will be blessed with a light and nur that will extend from today, from this Friday to the next Friday, for an entire week, meaning that he will be protected from all whatever fitna, whatever evil, whatever sin there is, and he is inclined to do those sins. If he reads the Surah Kahf, inshallah, Allah will protect him from reading those or going towards those sins. Allah grant us the tawfiq and ability.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان وقال تعالى وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء مخ العبادة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is indeed a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has once again given us the opportunity to witness another Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala make us see many, many more Jumu'ahs. Comes in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that from amongst your days, the best of days is the day of Jumu'ah. And on this day, a person should increase salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that the person most closest to me, that the person most deserving of me, most worthy of me. And commentators of hadith explain the word worthy means worthy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intercession on the day of Qiyamah, is that person who sends the most salawat upon me. And another great bounty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity together in His house to talk about Him, to talk about the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That again is another great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that famous hadith, when there's no group that gathers in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discussing deen, discussing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that few things happen. Rahmah and mercy descends upon them. Sakina, tranquility descends upon them. The malaika surround this gathering, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this gathering to the angels. They look at these servants of mine, they have gathered for no other purpose except my remembrance. Now, my dear brothers, when we have any discussion, and normally when any subject is discussed, or any topic is being discussed, and a person says that now I have come to the core and the essence of my topic, then automatically what happens is that everyone's attention is now turned to this. Why? No matter what was discussed before, he is now summing up his subject, he is now summing up his discussion, he is now coming to the most important part of his discussion. So everyone's attention and focus is now on that. So similarly, when it comes to Islam, when it comes to our ibadah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has drawn our attention to something and the essence of our ibadah, and something which holds very, very high importance when it comes to our ibadah. And what is that? That is dua. Now, when we hear dua, normally we all say that, you know what, after Fardh Salah, Imam made dua, we made dua with him. Maybe there was some special occasion, maybe there was a big night, we just witnessed Ramadan not long ago, so in the odd nights, etc., somebody had a program, somebody made dua, so we engaged in the dua. So a lot of times we define and constrict dua to that, but that is not dua. The actual meaning of dua is when a person turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his needs with total humility, with total sincerity, with total devotion, and with firm conviction and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua. So that is dua. Whatever need a person has, whatever difficulty a person is going through, then the first thing that the person turns to is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage in dua, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance in whatever he requires. Now if we look and we study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will see, we will realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was full of du'as. For every occasion, for every moment, whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat, raised his hand, engaged in du'a, whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the du'a, but for every single occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the du'a. What that shows? That shows that here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although being ma'asum, although being rahmatul lil alameen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was expressing his utmost sincerity, his utmost humility, to show us the importance of dua, to show us the power of dua, and to show us the effect that dua has. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just had to make one dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mustajab ud dawah, the dua could have got accepted immediately. But at every juncture, at every moment, at every occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to show us the importance of dua, to teach us the importance of dua. If we look at the battle of Badr, we know that that was the first battle of Islam, that was termed as Yawm al-Furqan, where on that day, Haqq, truth and batil was differentiated. In the Quran, it's called Yawm al-Furqan also. So that was the first battle. And we all know that the Muslim army at that time was very few in number, 313, hardly any equipment. At that time, the Kuffar were 1,000 men, fully equipped. And the night before, when the Muslim army reached Badr and camped at Badr, then the night before, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were told to now have a rest. Tomorrow is a very, very big day. So everyone was resting as per Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa command. But what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that entire night was in sajda making dua for the Muslims, for the ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making so much of dua, he even mentioned, Ya Allah, if tomorrow, if this army has to be destroyed, then perhaps you will not be worshipped on earth anymore again. These were the first batch of Muslims. The entire night Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in dua, in sajda. So much so that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to come to him and tell him, Hasbuk al-an. Unabayfi Allah, enough now, you've made a lot of dua, enough now. So that was one example to show us how much dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made and how much of importance Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached to dua. Another example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was at Hajjatul Wada'. We know that was the farewell Hajj. On the day of Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in salah and dua right from Zuhr right till sunset. Right till Maghrib. From Zuhr till Maghrib, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in dua. And that too again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was for his ummah mainly. But again, teaching us the importance of dua. That whatever we need, whatever we require, first thing we need to do is we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you look at the ayah that were recited, the first one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That, O Nabi of Allah, when my servants ask you about me, then tell them that I am very close. I'm not very far away, I'm right there. Call unto me. وَأُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That when a person calls to me, I respond to that call. And it comes in one hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always and will keep on accepting the dua of a servant as long as that servant does not become hasty. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu posed a question that they said, O Nabi of Allah, what do you mean by a servant becoming hasty? He said that a servant makes dua, keeps on making dua, and he says, I'm making dua, so much dua I'm making, but my dua is not accepted. No, as long as we are not hasty, we are patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming to us that I respond to your call. I accept your dua. Your duas are always accepted. When the dua will take place, how it will come to fore, that we don't know. That's in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
as stated in each dua, then one of few things happen. Either that person will be granted the thing immediately. So what he asked for, he'll be granted. Either immediately or after some time. Or a person will not be granted what he asked for. But a person will be granted something else. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, that thing is what is best for that person at that particular time. So he may not get what he asked for, but he'll get something at that particular time that was the best for him. Another one is where a person makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. But through the barakah of that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waves away some calamity that's supposed to befall this person. A person would be driving on the road, maybe just missed one accident. And he says, hey, I just missed the accident, Allah ta'ala save me. He doesn't know some dua he made for something else. The barakah of the dua Allah ta'ala used to save him from that particular calamity. And another one is where a person makes dua, the dua gets accepted, but he gets none of it in this world. Everything gets stored for him in the year after. So much so that when a person sees so much of good deeds being there, he will question. And he will say that, I didn't do so much good deeds in my life. Where did all these good deeds come from? And it will be said to him that these were all your du'as that you made in the dunya. We kept it for you here. We stored it for you here. And at that time, the person will wish that, you know, in this dunya, none of my du'as were accepted. I wish all got stored for me in the akhirah. Because he will see the reward of it in the akhirah. In the second ayah that was recited, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His servants, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, call unto me, I would respond to you. And then Allah ta'ala gives a warning, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. That those who are proud from making dua to me, those who abstain from making dua to me out of pride, then they will enter Jahannam in a very, very disgraceful manner. Then the hadith that was recited in the beginning, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, الدُّعَاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. That dua is the core, and dua is the essence of ibadah. And why is dua called this? Why is dua called the essence of one's ibadah? It is because when one is making dua, then a person is expressing his total helplessness, his weakness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I cannot do anything. I'm putting my plea in front of you. I'm putting my needs in front of you. I cannot do anything. This person is absolutely sincere. That I am weak. So that's why dua is called the essence of ibadah. Why a person is doing it with total ikhlas and sincerity. Anything else a person can do, there could be some fear of show. When it comes to dua, it is not like that. A person now is alone talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's putting all his deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's expressing absolute humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I'm only asking you for help. You are going to assist me. You are going to fulfill my needs. You are going to remove all my difficulties. That's why dua is known as mukhul ibadah, the core and the essence of ibadah. And my dear brothers, when it comes to dua, then nobody should underestimate the power and the effect that dua has. Always have this sincere conviction and this hope that whatever dua I am making, this dua has definitely reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this dua is definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it will take place, we don't know. But it is definitely there. It is definitely accepted. So when a person has any need, any difficulty, then first thing he should do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally we tend, when a person is in any difficulty, what he does, first thing he complains to is either somebody close to him, or he complains to another person that, you know, I'm going through some difficulty, I'm going through some hardships. Yes, that person can help you maybe to a certain extent only. But again, even that person helping you is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why not turn to him first? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. It comes in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, that that a person who does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala becomes angry and upset with that person. Contrary to insan, if a person keeps on asking a person, what happens? At some point in time, that a person will start feeling hard, a person will start feeling a little bit burdened, and at some time a person will get upset. He'll tell you, how many times you coming to ask me now? The other day you asked me, last week you asked me, last month you asked me, again you coming today. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. If we do not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to beg from Him. Just a few etiquettes when we're making dua also. When a person is making dua, then firstly a person starts off with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes to sending salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a person asks for his needs. He should make dua for himself, make dua for others. Then again a person should end his dua with durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very important, when a person is making dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave instructions that ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you having firm conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept this dua of mine. So have that conviction. Don't be half-hearted. I don't know whether my dua would get accepted. I'm not sure. I made dua. Look at me. No. Have full yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept my dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my dua. And also there are a few times where dua are readily accepted. We just mentioned a few. One is in the last portion of the night. One is after Fardh Salah. One is when it rains. Another day, today is the day of Jummah, so between Asr and Maghrib, particularly more before the Maghrib Salah, du'as are accepted at that time, so we should engage in du'a at that time. And another very important matter is that when a person is making du'a, together with one's ibadah, together with one's du'a, very, very important is that a person should abstain from doing anything wrong. A person should abstain from sin. A person should abstain from doing anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because these things can become a barrier and an obstacle in your dua being accepted. Sometimes a person is saying, you know, I'm reading my salah, I'm making dua, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm giving charity, but things are just not coming right for me. Then a person again needs to reflect, introspect in his life to see, I could be doing something wrong. That's becoming a barrier, that's becoming an obstacle in my du'as being accepted. So my dear brothers, in conclusion, whatever we require, whatever we need, whatever it is, the first thing we should do is turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in du'a. Make du'a for ourselves, make du'a for our brothers and sisters, especially not forgetting our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all the difficulties, remove the plight that they're in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them see much, much better days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of always turning to Him in dua. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.